The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Mr. Scott Reynolds.
That would be me.
Yeah. Grizz?
I'm back.
That would be him. Trevor? Sycamore?
Two words.
Good. And?
Apparently that's the theme of I'm back. You know, that's just, I guess, what the theme is of the intro. That's me. I'm back. Two words.
Well, underscore will screw it up.
Oh.
Matthew. There.
It me.
Ah. Oh, there we go.
Fell in the suit. Very good. Well, Buccaneers will be taking on the New York Giants Sunday at 4 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium.
Always tough to take on a former Super Bowl champion quarterback.
Two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, MVP.
And, you know, a future Hall of Famer. A guy who's starting his 17th year in the NFL.
But enough about Daniel Jones' future career.
Yeah, we're going to get into the Eli versus Daniel Jones talk. We'll also talk about some other matchups and things like that, and maybe kind of give our thoughts on is there anything wrong? I mean, people are saying, what's wrong with this offense? Is there anything wrong with it? We're going to talk about that a little bit more. It's certainly different than we've seen in the last few years, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. But first of all, we need to talk about our good friends over at Westshore Financial, our title sponsor, and Mr. Chris Garrido.
Thank you, Mark. The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial. They're the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. Let me ask you all some questions, Pewter Nation. Say you died today. Do you have enough life insurance to protect you and your family? To pay off your house and any credit card debt? To make sure that your kids have the tuition money they need when they go to college? To make sure your spouse doesn't struggle? Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help. Let's say you didn't die. Let's say you live until you're 80 and you retire at age 65. Do you have enough retirement income for 15 years of unemployment? Because that's really what it is. I've known Chris for over a decade. He's my retirement and life insurance guy. Let him be yours, too. Give Chris a call at Westshore Financial today at 813-434-0037 with your retirement and insurance questions. It's a free phone call. There's no obligation. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, like your retirement and the protection you need for your family.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm going to call Chris.
You should.
You know, I'm probably going to die today.
Well, hold on. We have a company policy here.
No employees
can die during
football
season. I do remember that.
Yeah.
In the contract.
Right. That's, well, in January. But I've got to figure something out. I mean, I'm going broke.
Well, in
guys.
January, I like mean, you're like gonna go on a trip or something. Well, again, you know, I'll die in January.
God let me live through football season so Scott doesn't get mad at me.
That's right.
And punish me and suspend me from the podcast.
We
don't give you like a proper warrior's burial if you die during football season. You know how like
that's only safe
back
for the
old
off
days
season.
They would have to do that to like send them off to heaven. You know, if they didn't, their soul would just kind of.
Oh, great.
So if we don't do that, your soul's just going to troll around $1 forever.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try and make it till February because the Buccaneers will be in the playoffs.
Well, that's music to a lot of ears in this
right
Peter
now.
Nation
they are
podcast.
Season ended today. They'd host a playoff game.
Absolutely.
If the season ended today,
Pewter Nation's like, end
Raymond
it now.
Raymond James would be hosting a playoff game.
These 14 games are meaningless.
Yep.
End the season
end
now.
End the season. If this season goes down the tubes, I'm going to keep referencing like, oh, back, you know, in week 3 when everything was looking up. They were right on.
Should have ended the season.
They
Bruce.
Were right there hosting a playoff
you.
Game.
You
know?
I tell you what, the Buccaneers have really mastered the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, they were. you know, they were at least 1-1, if not 2-0, under Dirk Koetter for three straight years.
Yeah,
exactly. And now they're 1-1 under Bruce Arians.
If the NFL season only lasted 2 weeks, the
that's
Bucs
right.
would be a perennial powerhouse.
It's just those pesky 14 games afterwards. You
just
know?
Add those 14 games to the preseason.
Right. Yeah, 18 game
coming
preseason.
Out of the gate is really all that matters.
Two game
right?
regular season.
It's
and
not
then
how you finish.
Playoffs.
Right? It's how
yeah,
you start.
Everybody's yeah. Like no, forget growth. You know, guys get hurt at the end of the year. You're not even playing with your real teams anymore. This is the real test.
That's
weeks
right.
1 and 2.
That's right.
Well,
that's why OJ Howard's trash.
Boy,
just kidding.
Wow. Save that clip, Matt, so I can play that for OJ in the locker room
oh,
in a
wow.
little while.
Yeah.
Wow.
Today is Wednesday as we're taping this podcast live at One Buccaneer Place. We'll have Bruce Arians in just a little bit, and of course, we'll have open locker room. So there's not really any big news that has come out of the One Buccaneer camp in the last couple of days, but certainly that's not the case up in New York where the tabloids and the newspapers and the blogs and sports radio is all abuzz. Of the talk of Daniel Jones replacing Eli Manning. Now,
and Eli Manning's burial up there. It went, a proper burial.
When he was drafted with the 6th overall pick in the first round, is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yep.
Trevor had a coronary.
I.
He was not your QB1, was he?
He was not my QB1. Daniel Jones, I thought, you know, playing against lesser competition, not really showing the consistent velocity.
Whoa,
on
whoa. He played in ACC. Easy there. What does lesser competition mean? He didn't play for USF.
Well,
come on.
You're right, he didn't, but, you know, their opponents were about the same, at least over the last 2 years. Daniel Jones showed a lot of nice traits as a quarterback, but I was worried about the arm strength. I really was. I know he had the injury to his shoulder before that he came back from, but it was enough time had passed where I didn't really think it was a lingering thing. I thought it was just, okay, I'm watching a guy who's got limited arm strength, but let me tell you, what I saw in the preseason was a much different Daniel Jones than I thought I was going to get in the NFL, especially right away.
Yeah, 85% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, no
right.
interceptions.
He, and you know, even if you go into the context of what the stats were, this guy was pushing the ball down the field,
yep.
not afraid to throw the deep ball, not afraid to throw it into tight windows, in the corner of the end zone, between the numbers, at the sideline, whatever it was. He looked like a fearless passer.
And who's he throwing to in New York? Who's
nobody
he to?
Now. Right. Sterling Shepard and, I mean, Evan Ingram, but Ingram was hurt. And
yeah.
so
Preston Parker.
I understand
no
that.
Preston Parker?
I understand
right.
that he was doing that against mostly second team guys because Eli was still getting those first team initial preseason reps. But
yeah.
still, he looked good under pressure. He looked good on the tough throws. And so this is why they're making the change.
So you're saying he looked like Ryan Griffin?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. And yeah. that's why the Bucs are going to beat him because they've already gone up against a similar.
And they both have the same amount of career starts.
Well, not as of Sunday. Yeah, Daniel Jones will have more career starts than Ryan Griffin.
You know, so. Scott and I were talking about it, though, yesterday. I think it was an open locker room. In all honesty, I would almost rather face a struggling Eli Manning.
Oh, no, 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 no. There's,
you know,
there's not a debate. Eli can't push the ball.
Right.
Yeah. He's got no arm left. His arm's a noodle. And that's why they replaced him, because through two games, you know, going into the season, it was the GM. What's the GM's name? Mara? Is that his name? What's his
Gettleman.
Name?
Dave Gettleman.
Oh, no, no, no. The owner. Is that...
Yeah,
Mara, whatever. Yeah. He got in front of the media and he was saying, hey, we hope we play Eli all 16 games this year. That's what they hoped. Two games in, they realized, my God, this guy's arm's literally about to fall off. He can't even move. He's got career lows in what would be considered like air yards, meaning like, you know, the amount of yards that the ball travels in the air trying to get to his target.
Right.
So everything that they're running for this guy is short. It's
and thus predictable
before 15 yards,
yeah.
and therefore you get, of course, predictable. You allow the defense to sink in towards the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That way, they defend Saquon Barkley better. There's no mobility factor from Eli Manning,
right.
and those are all things that make Daniel Jones different. The biggest difference for me with Daniel Jones playing is certainly, you know, them being able to take the top off a defense and be able to push the ball down the field is a big deal. But the run pass option that now you have with Daniel Jones, I think, changes things because
yeah.
before. Like you just said, the word was predictable. The
right.
Giants were just extremely predictable. Even when they got the ball into Saquon's hands,
sure.
everybody knew what was coming.
Yeah.
With Daniel Jones, he averaged, I think, 135 rushing attempts per year during mm-hmm. his career at
Duke. He could scoot. He had a couple hundred-yard games.
This is a guy who has mobility
yeah.
and is a legit threat once you do a lot more RPO stuff. And I was
right.
reading up on what some of the New York media people were saying, and they were saying that in the preseason, even in practice, they were starting to run a lot more RPO stuff
yep.
when Jones was in the game.
Makes a lot of sense.
So that's a big difference, and that's another angle that you have to attack with this team is that, hey, when they do these fakes, when they bring play action into effect with RPOs or even just out of the shotgun or under center, now it's an actual threat, whereas the first 2 weeks it wasn't. This is something that Todd Bowles and the rest of the defense have to account for.
And not just that, the guy that he's RPOing to is Saquon Barkley, a guy that you have to respect. You have to, as a defense, anticipate run first in those situations. Mm-hmm. You can't just anticipate that the pass is coming, because if you do and you're on your heels, you're giving Saquon Barkley 8 yards or 18 or 80 on any given carry.
And Bruce Arians, you know, I was talking about this when I was on WDAE earlier this week. If you were to name top five running backs in the NFL, you'd name Christian McCaffrey, right?
Yeah.
He'd be in the top five, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, just somewhere in there. You know, Zeke, Le'Veon, McCaffrey, Saquon, Alvin Kamara. Like, he'd be in there. He'd be somewhere, whether he'd be two or five or whatever. He'd be one of the best backs in the NFL.
Agreed.
Bruce Arians earlier this week said that him and Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, are on different planets.
Yes.
Not different teams, not different leagues, not different tiers.
Right.
He said that Saquon is basically a different species.
He's better
than one of the most effective running backs over the last year and a half.
Yeah.
In Christian McCaffrey.
And that was a running back the Bucs just shut down in Carolina. Well, it was Christian McCaffrey.
They better know how to shut him down.
That's what kind of prompted the question. I was like, hey, you know, you guys just shut down Christian McCaffrey. Does it give you guys confidence? And he said, no. I mean, not that they're not a confident defense right now with how they played, but this is a different animal. This is, like you said, a different species.
I think that how Tampa defends play action is going to be the telltale of what the result's going to be for this game.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to defend the run against Carolina, and they had some open receivers that they gave up that Cam just couldn't hit,
right?
Mm-hmm. It might be a little bit different with Daniel Jones. And when you go play action and when the defense does get sucked up and mm-hmm. bite on these play actions because you have to, like you said, respect Saquon Barkley and what his ability is, then all of a sudden do they then have a quarterback that can make the throws after you get sucked in. Yeah. So then those young guys like a Mike Edwards, like a Carlton Davis or a Jordan Whitehead, whoever's going to be playing linebacker next to Levante David, which it looks like it's probably going to be Kevin Minter since Devin White's
and
not
he's a very
go,
good blitzer.
Which he's a good blitzer, but how good is he in coverage, right?
Well,
how good is
he? I'll tell you what. You know what's going to happen?
If he takes a couple steps up, is he going to get burned afterwards?
You know what's going to happen? I believe that they're going to send a ton of blitzes. And that's what you do against play action teams. You blitz the hell out of them because it's a run blitz first, right? Because you're mm-hmm. anticipating run. So if you're clogging all the running lanes, you're trying to shut that down. Oh, and by the way, if the quarterback is taking its time to carry out the play action fake, put the ball in the belly of the running back, then drop back, scan, and you're a rookie quarterback, mind you, scan the field and try to find your first and second progressions. The defense can and should be on top of you if the blitzes are timed and executed properly. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Todd Bowles is going to say, we're going to force you to make that split-second read, find the open guy, and then make the accurate throw against one-on-one coverage. Because we don't like your receivers. We like our DBs better, even though they're young. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to absolutely storm the floodgates and just blitz the hell out of Daniel Jones. Now, where that can hurt you is, Trevor, as you mentioned, Daniel Jones is a mobile guy. So you better get home. You better hit your layups when you have a free shot, because if you don't and you give up contain, this is a guy, or if the pocket collapses and he's able to step up and hit the middle of the field and run, those are the ways that blitzing can be foiled, is if you've got a mobile quarterback that can escape the initial rush, and then all of a sudden you've blown contain, and now the quarterback's running for 15, 20 yards.
That's right, and you said that, and Bruce Arians said the best way to attack a rookie quarterback is to keep him off balance.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones may go in and prove that at this point in his career, he has a better arm than Eli Manning, and he is a better physical quarterback than Eli Manning, especially when you add in that mobility factor. But as a rookie, Eli Manning has seen defensive looks for 17 years. Eli Manning is probably going to be more effective at pre-snap reads and reading the defense. But if Todd Bowles, which is something he does better than anyone in the league, and that's disguise coverages and disguise blitzes and disguise where pressure is coming from, if Daniel Jones can't account for that and shift his protection, he could be in a lot of trouble simply because he doesn't have the experience or the looks that Eli Manning and a veteran has.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. It's not just blitzing, it's disguising it.
Right.
And acting like it's not coming, but mm-hmm. it is, and you don't know where it is. And you as a rookie quarterback haven't done the proper shifting of the back, putting him from left to right to help on that side of the pass protection, or shift the line mm-hmm. from left to right, or wherever the blitz that you think is coming from.
Now, to be fair to Daniel Jones, I believe Pro Football Focus had him as the second highest graded quarterback against the blitz of draft eligible quarterbacks they looked at,
in
which
the
I think during his time at Duke. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a smart guy.
So he was pretty good at that.
Yeah.
But there is a difference between certainly going up against college defenses,
right.
which are pretty straightforward. I mean, when you know when pressure's coming at you, you can normally, you know, to what Taylor was talking about, adjust to it. And it's also different making that jump to the NFL. And then it's also another jump going up against a Todd Bowles defense.
Yeah.
So you're hoping that
we're talking about Bowles, not Boston College here.
Right. Those two jumps, you're hoping, if you're a Bucs fan, is going to be too much for Daniel Jones to overcome, even though he showed that he is a smart quarterback. He does know how to play under pressure. But Todd Bowles didn't bring you normal pressure, right? I mean, Shaq Barrett said it the other day in the locker room. In his words, he said, "I've been playing in a 3-4 my whole life.
Yeah.
I've never played in a 3-4.
Yeah, this is different. Now, the other way you can beat the blitz, if you're the Giants, and this is what I would anticipate them doing a lot of, screen passes. And you got a guy that can catch the ball just as good as Kamara and Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. And so if I'm the Giants and I see a couple of blitzes right out of the gate, I'm going to screens and draws and trying to make them pay with Saquon Barkley. And I think even if the Buccaneers were to get an early lead, and we've seen the Giants really get hammered and mm-hmm. fall behind in these games, Saquon Barkley doesn't come off the field. This is not like, Tampa Bay has got a lead. They're up 14-17
points. Yeah, they're taking Saquon out of the game.
Yeah, and they've taken him out of the game. All that does is that just takes him out of the running back mold into the, now I'm going to run a wheel route, or I'm going to kill you in the screen game because I'm a three-down running back.
Saquon Barkley could be your Tampa Bay Buccaneer running back if it wasn't for a meaningless Jameis Winston pass to Chris Godwin to beat the Saints in the last game of the year.
Hate to see it. Was that the Vita draft?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Would they have picked Saquon over Quentin? I think they would have, right?
Over Quentin Nelson?
Yeah.
Barkley, I believe was number one.
He was
Barkley.
Because I always...
Barkley.
There was Chubb, Nelson, then...
Chubb, Barkley, and Nelson.
Sorry. When you said Chubb, I thought you meant Nick Chubb. No, and I was like, if they drafted Nick Chubb at 2-3 or whatever.
This is their pass rushing.
No, they absolutely... Listen, Jason and his guys believed exactly what Bruce Arians said the other day, that he is in a different stratosphere type running back. He wasn't just the best running back in that draft.
Yeah.
He was
the only other running back
type running back
that Jason Light has had in the top 10 in any draft was Todd Gurley, who was I think around number 10 on their draft board that year. So
if I'm gonna put some money on this, I'm still gonna go with Todd Bowles over a rookie quarterback all day long.
I think that's smart.
The problem is my bookie was recently arrested for
your own individual bookie.
Yeah, the guy on the street corner.
Well, I've got some great news for you.
What?
Well, mybookie.ag can help you out.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. And once again, I took a bath on the NFL. So, gentlemen, I'm not betting on the NFL. Don't let
you
me bet.
You told me that last week.
Mm. I know, and you
we
told
were
me.
We sitting in the press.
You told me to take the prop bet, Anthony Alclair getting a touchdown.
You should do that every week.
Okay, I'm going to do that,
okay,
Trevor.
I will do that. You should
that's
have
the
one
only bet
NFL bet every single week, and it should be that Anthony Alclair is going to catch a touchdown.
That in-game prop bet is like plus 3,300
okay,
on a weekly
basis.
Okay, hold on.
Let me go around the room real quick. Mark, do you think that Anthony Alclair is going to catch one touchdown all year?
Nope.
All year.
Absolutely
not. All
year. Nope.
16 games.
Nope.
Taylor.
Oh, man.
One touchdown? If they're within the 10-yard line, they're going 12 and 13
personnel. I feel like there's got to be one situation where you're on the 2-yard line, you're running 13 personnel, and he gets the pass.
Every team has that one guy on a goal line package where it's like, what? This guy just caught the ball for a touchdown? The Titans just had an offensive lineman catch a pass for a touchdown.
I'm going to talk to Byron Leftwich and say, listen,
Anything is possible.
Yeah, no, you're not going to. You are not going to bring the gambling element into an NFL club. No, you're not.
I'm not going to tell him my intentions. No. I'm just going to say, hey.
He listens to this podcast.
It would be one of those things where if you went 13 personnel, right, and you went with three tight ends around the goal line, which is part of their offense, everyone's thinking Howard. Everyone's thinking OJ. Everyone's thinking Cam Brate, Mr. Red Zone Touchdown. Yeah. No one's thinking Anthony Alclair. So just give double A a shot. Like a little play action 1 yard touchdown, and then I rake in some serious dough. Okay, a $10 bet pays like over $300.
$10 for 16 weeks.
I'm doing
it. $160.
I'm going to double my money.
If he wins, he's going to double his money. At any point, if this bet hits, even if it's week 17,
if it's the 16th game of the season.
Or he's going to lose $160 this year by betting
$10. I'm on my way to doing that now, Mark.
Yes.
So, listen.
I mean, that's why they call it gambling.
Yeah. Listen, I did really well.
It's not called winning. It's called gambling.
That's true. I did really well on Saturdays. I did. UCF is my team right now. K-State, I bet the money line and the point spread. Go Wildcats. They won. But listen, at the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, watch some football, right? Game-winning touchdowns, two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines. No one's going to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. Do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. And don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play. It's where you should, too, although I do mind playing on Saturday now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with mybookie.ag if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, bet with mybookie. Enter the promo code PEWTER to activate this special offer. That's promo code PEWTER. They're going to double your money. Your first deposit. That's at mybookie.ag and a promo code PEWTER. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
So the New York Jets are playing the New England Patriots this week.
Wait, was that the worst Monday night game you've seen in a long time, Monday night?
I didn't even watch it.
It was bad. So, I wanted to see if Baker had a rebound game. And
he really did.
Wow.
No, he's not terrible. He's
so,
not that good.
So here's the thing. The New York Jets are going to Foxborough to play New England this week.
I'm sorry.
New England is favored by 23.5, okay? The Miami Dolphins are traveling to Dallas to play the Cowboys. The Cowboys are favored by 21.5. I look up the MyBookie lines while I do my NFL draft podcast when we're looking over the games for the upcoming weekend. And I said to my friend, I was like, how much would I make if I bet on just like the Dolphins winning, like the beating the Patriots? And he's like, well, if you put down $100, you would get, I think it was somewhere around like $1,800. I was like, okay, what would it be for Miami? He's like, it's like $1,300, $1,400 or something. I was like, what if I parlay it? What's the number? If you can find somewhere, I don't know if MyBookie has it up right now, but if you can find somewhere that will let you bet the money line for Miami and the Jets, he did the math of it. If you parlay those two for $100, you win $25,000 if both of these teams win. And you know what? If I can find a place that'll let me put down $100 on a parlay, I'm doing it.
I remember when like 10 points in the NFL was a big spread.
Again.
When 10 points was a big spread.
Trevor, you got to look at it like my dad's mentality. My dad is like, I win $4 a week playing the lotto every week by not playing. You can win $100 Sunday by not making that
stupid bet, my friend. Are so right, and I am with you in every other instance, but if I'm putting down $100 to win 25 grand, I'm doing it just for the
rooting chance.
You have better odds of meeting Kate Upton in Hollywood and marrying her next week than you do of the Jets going to Foxborough and winning, and Miami going to the freaking
Saying there's a chance that Miami and the Jets can do it.
You got to believe, right?
$1 is one thing. $100, come on, man.
$25,000.
It's about the thrill of
victory. You'd be better off by a $25,000 scratch-off ticket.
That's what gambling is. It's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Take that $100 and put it on Anthony Alclair scoring a touchdown. You have better odds there.
You might. I'm only betting $10 a week on AA. I'm just saying. That's 160
bucks. If I hit
bucks.
It, I get like $3,000.
You were sitting next to me in the press box in Carolina. We were debating this because I did it in week one.
Right.
And you said, you got to be committed to this the whole
have
season.
To.
We
have
did,
to.
We did the math.
Have to.
Because if you don't and he scores, you're going to hate yourself.
Right, right.
Jump out of
a press
box.
Oh, my God. If you are not committed to now betting it for the rest of the regular season weeks, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is, this wouldn't be just because I have a weekly bet on AA, but I might go up to Anthony in the press or in the open locker room period and just say, hey, are you spending extra time with the jugs machine? Are you working on your hands? Because you never know.
Here we go
you
again. We're trying to get Leftwich involved in a gambling ring, and
I
now
am
we're trying
not.
To get.
I'm not
we're
going to
get them
involved.
Both
I'm just
kicked
gonna
out.
Go up to him every week this year. And
no.
Be like, boy, Anthony looks good, doesn't
no,
he?
Yeah,
no,
man.
No, you're
I'm
not
just
going
saying,
to do that. I no, will not know.
Is that insider Listen, trading?
Yes, it isn't. Exactly.
No, okay. I have no knowledge
Pete
of this.
Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame and out of baseball because
of
this.
I'm not trying to get in the Hall of Fame. I'm trying to get rich. I'm trying to be Pete Rose. I'm trying to do what Pete Rose did.
I'm trying to win
put me
a
the
prop
Hall of
bet on mybookie.ag.
Put me in a mansion.
All right, well, mybookie.ag just got the longest commercial
That's
in the
right.
history of all podcasts, so... listen, anybody going to the Bucks Beach Bash on Saturday?
Can't. I'm watching college football.
Yeah, I'm going, but I was
planning.
You're
getting dragged to go.
I was planning
because
on.
Because Billy Ray Cyrus is going to be at the trade winds.
I was planning on going. I was going to take my boat, but I went to take my boat out yesterday and noticed I need major trailer repair.
Uh-oh. Man.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
And if only you won $25,000 on a parlay bet.
I could have
Miami
taken
it
to
T.A.
Mahoney's and
T.
gotten
Mahoney's.
A brand new trailer practically. They could have rebuilt it. T.A. Mahoney's, your one-stop shop for all your marine needs. Located at 50th Street in Adamo, been in business since 1948, same year that Mr. Reynolds was born.
Not true.
70 years in business, and they are a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. For all of your needs, including flare guns, go check out our good friends at the Mahoney family. It's been a family-owned business, and unlike the big box stores, when you walk in, you're actually going to get some help. You're going to have somebody that's going to give you a hand. Maybe you pay a little bit more, but you know what? It's worth it to pay for that extra customer service, in my opinion. And even if you're not there to buy anything, go sit at the counter, have a chat about what's biting, where it's biting. Hunt season's coming up. Mahoney's are big-time hunters as well. They don't sell any hunting equipment, but they have, Scott, you can vouch for this, amazing taxidermy displays all over that place.
Yeah, it's almost like a museum in there.
It really is.
I feel like I should get charged admission just for walking in, but it's free to walk in.
It's free to walk in. T.A. Mahoney's, 50th Street and Adamo. That's between Brandon and Tampa. They're on the north side at that intersection. Go check them out. Tell them Pewter Report sent you, and you will be glad you did, my friend. And maybe they'll give you a free pack of hooks. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up, but you can ask them.
Is anyone picking the Giants this week? Is this a universal selection for the Buccaneers?
Well, we're all 0-2, aren't
we? Yes, we are.
We're all 0-2?
Yes.
Yeah?
No, I mean, I'm taking Tampa Bay.
I mean, I'm taking Tampa
I'm
taking
well.
Tampa Bay. They have to win this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they have
I,
to
you,
win this
you
game.
You talk about some insider trading knowledge.
Yeah.
After talking to a certain head coach that wears a certain red hat at a certain event on Saturday night.
Was the hat a Kegel by any chance?
Maybe. I feel really, really good about where this team is going. And again, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but talking to Coach Arians the other day, and I can't, you can't repeat these conversations, but let me just say, you get a vibe about a guy who has been in this league a long time, who's seen teams needing to turn corners and change a losing culture, a losing mentality. And I think that's what this win at Carolina did. Now, again, I'm not going to say it's as significant as that 1996 win against the Chargers that you talk about a lot, Scott. You were in San Diego. That's when the Buccaneers went from the Yuccaneers to the Buccaneers. I'm not saying it's that type of change, but it's well on that way.
Is.
Maybe. I mean, it could be.
We don't know.
It could be. But I'll tell you what, Coach Arians really believes in this football team and really believes in the direction that it's heading. A couple injuries could derail this team big time, but this is not your 5-11
and you know what?
Football team you've seen the last 2 years.
Thanks to Arians, this team believes in itself now. Mm-hmm. That's the most important
thing. Right.
Arians has believed in this team since he came here. That's why he came here.
But his
now,
big thing
now
was
they're believing
he's
in
trying
themselves.
To get them to believe in
Which,
themselves.
Right, right. You, yep. I mean, we saw it under Dirk Cutter a little bit, and I talked about this during the preseason. When Arians was asked, week one of the preseason, going into the Steelers game, hey, what do you want to get out of this game? Win?
Mm-hmm.
What? what? Like, what? It's a preseason game. What do you mean? Okay. It was so it was such an obvious duh for Arians to say, yeah, every time we step on a football field, we're trying to win. We're not trying to win at all costs in the preseason, right? They're not playing their starters. They're not being dumb. But they want to win the football game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if Ryan Griffin's in there for a half or Vincent Testaverde's throwing 30.
They have to expect to win.
Passes.
Not that this is just... This can't just be an activity that these guys get to go to on Sunday that they get paid for.
Right.
This is not a day job, okay? This is to win football games. That's what he's trying to... I mean, technically, it is their career. It is their day job. But you know what I'm saying?
To win the game!
Right, he's trying to convince these guys that this is what they're here for. Yes, you get paid to do it. Yes, there's obviously a business part of football and playing at a professional level, but you're playing to win.
Yeah, but you know, there's... I've talked about this when I used to do the podcast with old school Derek at What the Buck, and it was something the Buccaneers never got over the hump on. And my big thing was, when the Buccaneers walk into a stadium expecting to win versus hoping they can win, and I don't know that they're quite to that point where they're walking in Sunday mm-hmm. expecting to win, but they're a lot damn closer this week than I think they have been over the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, Scott, you told me, you know, you used to tell me about this because I ask you about this all the time because mm-hmm. I remember
when you sit in his lap and he tells you stories about the old days. It wasn't if the Bucs were going to win, it was by how much.
That's the thing. Yeah. I was young when the Buccaneers were good.
Yeah.
I don't remember this town being alive. I have memories of, you know, going to games with my dad and things
right.
like that, being there, but I didn't understand the scope of it, though, and you told me that there were games in the early 2000s where you would drive to the stadium,
yeah.
yeah,
just thinking it wasn't a matter of whether the Bucs were
sure.
going to win; it's how much.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and I think one of the key indicators, one of the parallels that I see, and it's early. And Vernon Hargraves, when I talked to him about this yesterday, even said, "Hey, it's early now," but one of the key indicators is third and short and fourth and short. There was a time. And Mark, you remember these days with Hardy Nickerson and Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp,
yeah.
John Lynch, where third and one was not a gimme.
No.
The Bucs had a 50-50 chance of shutting down third and one. And fourth and one was usually a Buccaneer win. Like, this team took so much pride in its defense that they were so offended. Wait a minute, you didn't get third and one, so you're going to go for it on fourth and one? F you. Like, we're about to
right.
just change this shit and do a turnover on downs right here. And that's what I saw in Carolina. And I haven't seen that in a decade.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that type of short yardage dominance in a decade. And that, to me, is a huge indicator that this team is going in the right direction. Not just one fourth and shortstop. Not just two, but we're talking a game-winning fourth and short stop. And when Bruce Arians says defend every blade of grass, it's one of his famous sayings. I mean, there's not a lot of blades of grass to defend in 1 yard. And damn it, this Todd Bowles defense is doing it. That's a huge indicator for me. If they can keep up this type of defend every blade of grass mentality, that this Buccaneer defense can carry this offense until it kind of comes around.
And the true indicator of this defense is going to be a game this year where they're just bad on defense. It's going to happen. Scott, you remember even the great Buccaneer defenses usually had that one crap game a year, right? Or every couple
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
There was a game at Oakland, I think, that lost 45-0.
45-0, yeah.
And you know what I mean? But
to John Gruden's Raiders.
But they didn't lose the next week.
No.
And there was very rarely back-to-back losses or back-to-back bad defensive performances. And so this defense, at some point, is going to come back to reality. Some team is going to be able to exploit him.
Yeah.
Todd Bowles is going to lose a chess matchup with an offense coordinator. It may come against the Rams next week. We don't know what game that's going to be, but it's going to happen. How do they respond the following week? If they come back and they get right back into the groove they were before that game, to me, then we know this is a defense that's getting ready to turn the corner or has turned the corner.
I love covering a football team because after week one, sky was falling.
Yeah.
James is terrible. Defense can't get it done.
Right.
Here they are after a win in Carolina. Team's turning around.
If they lose
double
the Giants,
wins.
If they lose
the
Giants,
the NFC South,
it's a soap opera.
It's wide open. It's great. It's
like
great.
Sands
you
through the
hourglass. Single.
So
week.
Are the days of our lives.
Never in the middle. Oh,
right.
100%.
Yeah.
No.
Pendulum
the sky
swing.
Is either falling or you're in the clouds yourself. It's one
yeah.
of the two.
Unless you're covering the Dolphins.
That's
how
true.
Bad would it be to be a Dolphins beat writer this year?
Yeah. No, I mean, being a Dolphins beat writer
Or the next year.
As bad as the Buccaneers have been the last 10 years.
Being a Dolphins beat writer, I think, would be fun still, because you get to cover a team that you truly know is doing historically bad.
Yeah,
so
it's like a mystery.
It's a mystery. How bad is it going to be this week?
Scott, tell them. When you're in the middle of a 10-game losing streak.
That's true.
Or starting the season at 0-8 like Greg Schiano. And it is drama every week, you know, with the Dolphins. It's who's going to be asked to be traded. Here it was who's going to have Mercer and whose toes going to fall off.
I mean, how is that not great
journalism? It was. It wore our ass out. The PR roundtable
is basically who's getting traded this week, and y'all get to talk about it. Who's getting the disease this week? Yeah, you know, like, what temperature is Gianna going to set the building at? You know, like, all kinds
No idea how draining that was. It was brutal.
I would assume that you could still spin it to be fun as a media person, but being a fan.
Could you imagine the Week 14 podcast?
Man. I mean, yeah, exactly.
If you're the Dolphins people, what in the hell? Well, I mean, you're already talking draft, I guess. Which quarterback are we drafting?
Hey,
next
Dolphins
year?
Nation, thank you for listening, all four of you. Really, we appreciate all four of our listeners to this week's Week 14 podcast.
Did you see Xavien Howard's tweet last night?
Yes.
It was just the gif of Will from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where he walks into the house and it's all empty, like at the end of the show, and he's just got that sad look on his face and nothing's in the room. I was like, that's such a good tweet. It's week two. You've traded Minkah Fitzpatrick for a first. You're going to trade Kenyon Drake. You've traded Laremy Tunsil. There's nothing left. It's like, this animal has been skinned and all the meat is off the bones, and now we're sharpening the bones to use them as tools.
Does Brian Flores at this point... Does Flores ask to be traded at some point? You know?
Who's going to trade for him at this point?
If you need a defensive coordinator.
I do feel bad for Flores, though, because I think that...
I think he got duped when he took that job
Yes, I do. Totally.
I think that... And I was worried about this when he took the job. Yeah. I was like, he's going to be a scapegoat.
Yep.
Because this team's not good, and they're very...
This is like Steve Wilkes all over again,
right,
in my opinion.
Right, and you didn't exactly know that they were going to be this bad or that they were going to get this drastic, but you kind of knew that unless Rosen really caught fire, Miami was close to pulling the plug on everything.
Yeah.
And when they hired Flores, I thought to myself, okay, they hired this guy and let him... coach New England throughout the entire playoffs without even starting to get involved with Miami stuff. When you do that, do you really care? Like, you've got to think you've got the next McVay letting him do that because they let a whole month go by without a head coach. Yeah. You know, and so I kind of feel bad for Brian Flores.
All right, real quick, without commentary, winner and score, Matthew Matera, you're up first.
The Bucs will be victorious by a score of 30-20.
All right. Trevor?
27-13, Bucks.
24-13, Bucks.
31-13, Bucks.
I'm going to go 31-17, Buccaneers.
All right.
All right. And listen, make sure that you go by and visit all of our sponsors. And we had a nice watch party the other night at Yeoman's. We're going to have another watch party for the London game coming up in a couple weeks over at Yeoman's as well. But Ford's Garage, I ate there again the other night, had the Roadster Burger. Those things are great. They're $10 burgers, are a little smaller than the huge ones. They're great. I had a side of baked beans, had a sweet tea. It was a heck of a meal, and we had a great time. Funnel cake fries, you can't beat them, plus all the great food and drink specials, but particularly the happy hour that runs from 11 to 7 daily, $5 premium wells. Check out Ford's Garage, multiple locations throughout Central Florida, and even if you're up in Dearborn, Michigan, go check them out. And you can find out all the menus at all the different locations at fordsgarageusa.com. For Trevor Sikkema, for Scott Reynolds, for Matt Matera, and Taylor the Grizz, I'm Mark Cook saying we will see you on Sunday with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Oh. Out.
72hourprint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com.